and welcome to On Sacred Ground on the LMC Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting the voices of the land and of the dead by weaving together history, ethnography, and spiritual experience. I'm your host, Kai Armand, and if you're tuning in online and having technical issues, remember that you can listen to the show by calling in via your phone or Skype to 657-383-0525. That's 657-383-0525. And to those of you who are listening live and are in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com, welcome, and thanks so much for tuning in. This is our 15th episode of On Sacred Ground, broadcasting live at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific on this April 18th, 2015. And tomorrow is actually the start of National Infertility Awareness Week. And partially because of that, we have on this episode special guest Sarah Jacobson of Yemaya's Sacred Womb, a holistic fertility support practice. Today is a call-in show, so if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments on the topic of fertility and working with the Earth's natural healing powers, calling on the sacred powers of the Earth to help us heal and resolve our own imbalances, please do call in to 657-383-0525 and make sure that you dial 1 so that I know that you're in the queue, as we'd love to have you on. As we do every show, we'll be beginning today with a poem from the book Earth Prayers from Around the World, 365 Prayers, Poems, and Invocations for Honoring the Earth. And this prayer comes to us via George Appleton, which reads, O God, I thank thee for all the creatures thou hast made, so perfect in their kind, great animals like the elephant and the rhinoceros, humorous animals like the camel and the monkey, friendly ones like the dog and the cat, working ones like the horse and the ox, timid ones like the squirrel and the rabbit, majestic ones like the lion and the tiger, for birds with their songs. O Lord, give us such love for thy creation, that love may cast out fear, and all thy creatures see in man their priest and friend through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sarah Jacobson is a holistic fertility consultant, certified doula, breastfeeding specialist, prenatal and postpartum massage therapist, and energy healer who has been working with moms and babies for the past 8 years and recently shifted her focus to conception after successfully healing her own infertility just this past year. And she can be found online at yemayaswomb.com, Y-E-M-A-Y-A-S-W-O-M-B.com. And I'm so glad to have Sarah here. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kai. It's wonderful to hear your voice, as always.
Thank you so much. So we've been planning this show for a couple of weeks now, and you mentioned that this was National Infertility Awareness Week, and I'm so glad that I came across this poem sort of talking about all of the creatures on Earth. And when I came across that line of humorous animals, like the monkey, and I was really hoping that he'd say humans, because I think we're pretty funny, personally.
We're a funny species.
And I don't mean that derogatorily. I actually think that we're actually rather peculiar in terms of the animal kingdom. And I feel like that poem just was actually a really great entryway into the show today, because today a huge amount of what we're talking about is being a creature on Earth, which for all of us starts with birth. Can you tell us a bit about your practice and where you are? Where in the world are you?
Yeah, so I'm in beautiful Northern California. I live in the Sierra Nevadas. So I'm looking at a bunch of pine trees right now in my backyard. And I recently shifted my focus in my business from working with pregnant women and birthing women and postpartum mamas to fertility. And like you had said in the intro, I got really inspired by healing my own infertility. And I'm really so glad that we were able to schedule this for National Infertility Awareness Week, because I also wanted to highlight how important this issue is. Here in the U.S., 1 in 8 couples of who are able to are of the age where they can conceive are actually infertile. So that's, you know, 1 in 8 is a lot of people here in America. And more women every year are seeking out fertility treatment. So this issue is, you know, is not only important to us here in America, but also important worldwide.
Absolutely. And I'd love to start with talking about, you know, the desire to be involved in healthy pregnancies. Was that something that sort of just started with you coming out of your own experience of infertility? Or is this sort of like a childhood dream of yours? How far back does this desire go?
Yeah. Well, the desire to work with moms and babies has actually been with me since I was 7, since I was 7 years old. Yeah, I used to dream about becoming an OBGYN, and it was really funny because my visions of being an OBGYN was always very holistic. You know, like the woman was squatting and I was catching her baby while she was squatting. And then as I got older, I found out about the word midwife. I had never even heard of that word before. And that's when I realized, oh, like that's kind of what I've wanted to do since I was 7. So, yeah, I've been interested in supporting moms and babies since I was a little girl.
So we're talking about a calling here. We're talking about, you know, something that was, you know, on your life as sort of a sacred duty before you even really had the words to describe it. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, when you found out that, you know, well, if you don't mind asking, I don't know much about this topic. So how did you find out that you were infertile? What led to that?
Yeah. So I actually had suspected a couple years prior to my diagnosis of infertility that I had some issues with my uterus and ovaries. For a couple years prior to the diagnosis, I had pretty consistent irregular menstrual cycle. My period would start and stop and start and stop. Some months it was every 30 days, some months it was every 35, some months it was every 28 days. So really irregular periods, and I also was starting to get some facial hair, and I was starting to kind of have thin out hair on the top of my head. So for a couple years prior to me going to the doctor and getting diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, I actually suspected that I had it, and it took a reading from Candelo Kimbisa last year. Actually, no, 2 years ago, December 2013, that really was like the kick in my pants, like, okay, I just have to, you know, get this thing checked out.
And you were, but you were already involved in helping, working with birthing mothers at this point. You were already, correct?
Yes, I've been working
with, but now
with,
it was sort of,
yeah, I've been
sorry,
working
continue.
With moms and babies for the past 8 years, and then I was diagnosed January 2014.
Which, you know, I think that's so archetypal to find oneself in work that feels right for oneself, and then the universe does this thing where it turns the mirror on us and is saying, so where are you in this conversation? You know, and that's like that's really where the real, I would say oftentimes, like the real healer is made. You know, that's the vessel going into the fire. You found your passion. You're doing it with, you know, with joy and clarity. And then the universe says, well, let's really, you know, step it up now by you being able to turn it on yourself.
And
then be the person who has the medicine even more so to do the job, which sounds like what you've, the path that you've been on. Nagashiva in the chat room A great question for beginners to this topic. What is the difference between a midwife, a doula, and a nurse?
Sure. I just want to point out one thing that you said first before I go into that. Yeah, so as you know, as a shaman, traditionally shamans became shamans through having to go through some type of hardship or illness and overcoming it. So, yeah, a diagnosis of infertility can end up being a portal for deep transformation.
Absolutely.
So the difference between doula, midwife, and nurse. So a nurse, you can be either a certified nurse's aide, you can still call yourself a nurse there, or a licensed vocational nurse, or a registered nurse. If someone is a nurse, they've had to go through some type of nursing school or nursing education, and that has certain prereqs and that has certain requirements. Now, a doula, anybody can call themselves a doula. You can train or not train. And basically, a doula supports women giving birth, typically in the hospital setting, although sometimes she will work with home birth midwives and her client in a home birth setting. But a doula is there for emotional support, physical comfort measures such as massage or helping with different positions, and then information about birth and, pregnancy and postpartum. And now a midwife is somebody who has either, traditionally, the way a midwife became a midwife is she would apprentice with a midwife. And after she had apprenticed a certain amount of years and done all of the requirements that midwife had for her, she would be able to call herself a midwife. The regulations are a little bit different now. And so if a woman wants to become a midwife, they now need to be a part of a midwifery school in addition to having a preceptor or be an apprentice midwife. And so they do their clinical aspect with the midwife they apprentice with, and then they also have an academic component as well. And then they have to sit for an exam with NARM, the North American Registry of Midwives. And that's, of course, here in America. Pass the NARM, and then they can call themselves a certified professional midwife.
Thank you so much for those definitions. In your own personal story, you end up having divination with one of the LMC Radio Network's own radio hosts and well-known diviner, Candelo Candisa of Candelo's Corner.
I actually had the pleasure of meeting Candelo in Florida. I think it was a few months after I'd had divination with him, so that was great. But yeah, I had a divination session with Candelo December 2013, and he gave me a lot of information about self and my path, but two really important things that are pertinent for today's show. Number one, to have my ovaries looked at, to go to the doctor. And then the second thing he told me was that my path is open for the ADRs. But it really took Candelo kind of pushing me to go to the doctor because, like I said, I had kind of, my periods had been irregular for a couple years and I figured, oh, they'll figure themselves out or whatever. But it took that reading with Candelo to be like, no, Sarah, you need to go to the doctor, where I finally went to the doctor.
And by ADRs, you're talking about the African diasporic traditions such as Santeria and Lukumi. We're talking about Palo, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And there were two huge things about your life that were showing up in this reading, that there was an opening or a calling to you in a sort of spiritual direction, but also there was something that you needed to go to a medical professional to have checked out. And what happened next?
Yes. Well, it's interesting how my spirituality and my connections to the Orishas have really mirrored my own healing of my infertility. So I had that reading back in December 2013 with Pandello. I went to the doctor January 2014. We did blood work. We did an ultrasound, and my doctor diagnosed me with polycystic ovarian syndrome. The two kind of hallmarks of polycystic ovarian syndrome are very high testosterone levels, which is what I had, and some women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome have little cysts on their ovaries, and some don't. I had cysts on my ovaries. And I was 29 years old at the time, and my naturopathic doctor told me, not only do you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, but you probably haven't been ovulating for a long time.
And this person was correct.
Yes, exactly.
So you take this information, and I'm sure this is difficult, really difficult for you to process.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't surprised because I had suspected there was something going on for years. But I felt determined to heal it. So my naturopathic doctor put me on some herbs and supplements, and I took those for 2 months, and I didn't really take them in a very, you know, intentional way or magical way or anything like that. And 2 months down the road, I had moved to Northern California. I had run out of my herbs and supplement supply because I had only gotten a 2-month supply. And I really wasn't feeling any better. My menstrual cycle was still very irregular. I still had some facial hair. I was still thinning on the top of my head. So I really, really wasn't feeling better, and I really didn't feel like this was the right path for me to go, the herbal supplement path. And there was a voice inside of my head. I remember this so clearly. I was in my kitchen, and I was looking at the empty herb bottles, you know, that had run out of them. And I remember there was a voice inside of my head that says, no, I'm doing this my way. Like, I'm healing, and I'm doing it my way. Like, it felt like the herbs and supplements that had been prescribed to me by my doctor was, like, her way. And there was something inside of me that was like, no, I'm healing myself my way. And so I went on a 6-month journey of really going deep into the emotions that were living in my uterus and ovaries and cervix and healing that through energy healing on myself. And I did very traditional spiritual work with the Orisha, the goddess Oshun, at the river. I was lucky enough that April of last year, I had moved to the Sierra Nevadas where we have a beautiful river that actually forms. Our river is a important part of this city's or this town's lifestyle, and it's an important focal point for us. So I did a lot of emotional healing work at the river. I did a lot of very traditional spiritual work for the goddess Oshun at the river. And kind of one key piece that I forgot to mention, if we can just backtrack a little bit, back in December 2013 when Candelo said that my path was open to the ADRs, at that point, he was really the only person I knew who, you know, was a spiritual leader in one of the ADRs. So I was a little bit overwhelmed when he said that, but I said to my ancestors, I was like, okay, if this is the right path for me, then, you know, put the right spiritual teacher in front of me, put them in my path. And 2 weeks later, I met my current spiritual godparent, who is an initiated Babalao. And so meeting him was really pivotal for me, not only for my own spiritual path of working with the Orishas, but also on my healing of my womb, because he introduced me to a woman who is a Santera, and she did a tummy rotation on me. actually a few weeks before I left LA. She did a tummy rotation on me. So this was March of last year. And that experience lifted so much emotional pain out of my womb. And I hadn't even realized how disconnected I was from my reproductive organs until she did this tummy rotation, this cleaning on my womb. And so I left LA for Northern California with some knowledge about, okay, like I can clean my womb this way and I can heal this way from that tummy rotation with that Santetta.
And you mentioned a babalawo, which for listeners who might not know, in my understanding, a babalawo is a chief diviner in the Ifa tradition coming out of Nigeria, and sort of offshoot of that tradition, known popularly as Santeria, sort of more correctly as Lukumi. And then you mentioned also the Orishas and their prominent role, which, again, in my understanding, are prominent spirits of nature, very prominent, very well known. Most people, you know the names of these spirits without possibly having the background thereof. And you mentioned Oshun, who is sort of the mother of the sweet. She's associated with sweet waters, sweet moving waters like rivers, as well as so many other attributes, you know, far more than can be discussed in this show. And I just think that this is such a powerful example of the medicine that we need showing up at the exact time that we need it, and following that sort of inner voice toward that medicine. That your godfather showed up, a woman who was a practitioner in the tradition who knew how to do a very specific kind of working with you also showed up in your life. And then you moving to a place in which there's spirits of the land, this river, played such a prominent role in the area that you moved to, also showing up as an ally to you as well. It's just incredible sort of how all of these forces came together to support this healing for you and sort of hold your hand. A question that shows up in the chat room, which I know the answer to, but I think that it would be great if you could explain it a bit, having experienced this. What is a rogation?
Yeah, sure. So a rogation is done, as you mentioned, Candelo, in the Lukumi or Santeria or Ifa states, spiritualities. And you can have either a tummy rogation or a head rogation. And basically a rogation is a cleaning. And so for both the head rogation or the tummy rogation, it's to kind of pull out, you know, negative feelings or emotions. Or with the head rogation, it could be negative thoughts that you have. And typically, rogations will use natural material, herbs. You know, in the African diasporic religions, they usually use some type of alcohol, you know, powdered eggshell. They typically use, for Oshun, of course, there's honey and pumpkin. So it's using natural elements of the land to actually get the negative emotions and the negative thoughts out of your body. And in turn, that helps you heal.
I actually had the privilege of experiencing a rogation, also known as un rogación, by actually the late Dr. E, who was, you know, my teacher and was a santero and a palero while he was alive, and mine was a head rogation. And I remember there were a lot of cooling elements in what he provided me as well, which sort of made me see that I was moving through life in a rather anxious, hot-tempered way, because I remember the day after moving through the world with just a cool feeling over my mind, over my life. It was almost like someone had sedated me.
The head rogations are great for that. Typically, the head rogations will use powdered indigo, which is associated with Yamaya and Obatala, and that really helps you kind of cool things down for the head rogation. Now, the tummy rogation is a little bit different. It's the tummy rogation is about kind of pulling out those negative emotions and almost having, at least for me, it was all about pulling out the negative emotions, the negative feelings, And then having those go into, in this case, it was the pumpkin. And then I'm sure the pumpkin was left at a creek or a river or something like that.
Which makes perfect sense because, you know, and this is just so well known throughout the world in traditional medicine, but and sort of the West is sort of just beginning to finally, you know, adopt it into mainstream understanding, is that we store emotions in our body. Our bodies are a record, are an archive of our lives.
Yeah.
So it's makes perfect sense that this would be a really necessary component, that some kind of spiritual cleansing of your body and drawing out would be involved in your own healing process.
Yeah, and as you said, a lot of these traditional spiritualities recognize that there is pain and there is trauma that is stored in the body, and that can have an effect on the person. Unfortunately, the way that fertility is handled here in America and, you know, in other Western countries as well, the root issue is not addressed. Usually if a woman is struggling with infertility, there's a lot of emotional pain and emotional trauma that is playing an integral role in the infertility. And in fact, I did some research a while ago, and there was a research group that decided they wanted to study women who have been diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome a little bit closer. And so they sent out a survey to these women. I think they surveyed about 1,000 women or something like that. And they asked them all different questions about their lives. They had children, you know, what was it like growing up, da da da. But one of the questions was, have you experienced sexual abuse or sexual trauma? And 70% of these women reported experiencing sexual trauma or sexual abuse at least one time in their life. So there is that really close link between sexual trauma and sexual abuse and infertility. And with my own healing and my own journey, that was an integral role in healing my own infertility, was confronting that sexual trauma that I had and healing that.
That's so powerful. And that's, you know, that is how it works. That's what, you know, that mirror being turned on ourselves, and the light sort of being turned on to our own, you know, our own wounds. Healer, heal thyself. Not as a slap in the face, but as a, so that you can really, you know, do even deeper healing work than you realized you were called to do in this world. If you know, in our conversations, we talked about how some of the offerings that you were making at the river while communicating with the Orisha coming out of the Lukumit and Ifa tradition, these were sort of prescribed offerings known as Ebo, correct?
Yes, exactly. So my spiritual godparent, the Baba Lao, he gave me these prescribed ebos or offerings to do, and they're very detailed, and it was very traditional work. I want to address a question in the chat room real fast. So
of course.
The goddess Yamaya, she is considered the mother goddess of all the Orishas, but she herself struggled with infertility. So the goddess Yamaya asked her younger sister, Oshun, the goddess of the river, to become pregnant for her and to give birth for her. So that's why a lot of women go to Oshun to heal their infertility. So I'm a child of Yamaya, which means that Yamaya, the ocean spirit, is my main goddess, my main Orisha. However, I went to Oshun because Oshun, as the mythology goes, Oshun was the one who was able to actually get pregnant for her sister, for Yamaya.
Beautiful. Just a beautiful interweaving of the Yoruba myth with your own life and own process. We're going to be coming right back to this story right after this music break. Sarah, it's so wonderful having you. I can't wait to continue this conversation in just a moment.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. one day I'm going to understand. Zaya.
Sacred Ground. I'm your host, Kyra Mond, and today we have holistic fertility specialist Sarah Jacobson sharing her story of healing her own fertility using natural methods, including traditional and diasporic practices. Sarah, are you there?
I am.
this has been such a beautiful, riveting story that's really, really touching my heart. And I'm so excited about everything I know that you're going to be sharing on this show. And, you know, the past couple of days I've been planning to go to the beach today, not just because it's really beautiful, but because I've been wanting to engage in some sort of my own ritual practice. And it's just, there's definitely no... it's no coincidence that you're on the show today. Today's a water day. Let's go deep. Mm. So, you during the break, you were mentioning sort of what women usually experience when they go to a medical professional regarding their infertility. Maybe we can start there.
Yeah, sounds great. So, you know, like I had said in the beginning, infertility is a big issue here in America and also in other Western countries as well, as 1 in 8 couple of reproductive age here in the USA struggle with infertility. And the way that infertility is handled or healed, quote unquote, here in the USA is a woman, if she's struggling with getting pregnant, she will go to a Western medical doctor, a fertility doctor. He'll pump her full of synthetic hormones and harvest eggs, and it's a very unnatural, very clinical process. And not only does that not get to the root cause of disease, you know, why did she have infertility? It doesn't get to that issue or heal that issue. But it also promotes further disconnection between a woman and her soul, a woman and the land, and a woman in her sense of self as a woman and her feminine energy, her divine feminine energy. And so what I and a couple other people are wanting to usher in is a new way of healing fertility, a way that is honoring of the land and the water, honoring of the divine feminine, honoring of our bodies, and of course getting to the root cause of disease, which is typically a combination of some emotional stuff, maybe some spiritual stuff. It can be diet and lifestyle changes. And then, you know, of course, herbs can be our plant allies, our plant medicine, if we use herbs in a very intentional way. Now, when I was using herbs and supplements before to try to heal my fertility, I wasn't using them in an intentional way. And I think that's why they didn't work for me. And another piece, too, is, you know, conventional herbal tinctures are, you know, it's great that we have them. It's great we can go to Whole Foods and get, you know, an herbal tincture. However, when we don't make our own herbal tinctures, when we don't grow our own herbs, we can't put that intention there. So if I were to grow my own Vitex, for example, I can put my love, my attention, you know, my intention into that plant to help heal my fertility. And when I'm making an herbal tincture, I can put my own intention and my own love and my own energy into that herbal tincture. And those tinctures are the most powerful because when we make our own tinctures and we grow our own medicinal herbs for fertility or any other disease we have, we're promoting that connection to the land. We're creating this symbiotic relationship that we both feed from. It's very different than going to Whole Foods, picking up an herbal tincture, and taking that. That represents kind of taking from the land. But when we grow our own medicinal herbs to help with fertility and we make our own tinctures, that's creating this symbiotic relationship. And I'm lucky enough to live in a place where I could grow my own Vitex, for example, which is a great herbal ally for women struggling with infertility.
So one question I have is, maybe I'll say one thought I have is, Charles Eisenstein, he's the author of the book, The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible, and he's known for using this combination of terms. He calls them the new and ancient story, and it sounds a lot like the work that you're doing right now, sort of trying to being a part of the reviving of ancient and traditional practices in new ways to solve, you know, modern-day conditions that people are facing. And for you, that even goes to the root of where are we getting our materials from? How are they being sourced? Are they being sourced ethically? Or, you know, is the very root of, you're saying even the very root of the issue is a symbiotic issue? Is this coming from a place in which, you know, plants are being, you know, sort of dealt with in, you know, with tremendous chemicals? Are they, you know, coming from a controlled, you know, unloved place? Or were they tended to with care? You know, what are you putting in your body towards your own healing practice and your own healing process?
Yeah.
Would you agree that you're sort of saying, like, you know, let's even look at the start of the whole story so we can unravel it from the very beginning?
Yeah, and exactly right. You know, we have a symbiotic relationship to Mother Earth, and we have a symbiotic relationship to our rivers and our ocean and our ponds and our creeks. I think it's interesting that here in California, we've been having less rainfall, less water, and at the same time, infertility rates and the usage of fertility treatment has gone up and up and up here in the U.S. So I don't think that there's a coincidence there. There's something about having clean, fresh drinking water from natural springs, from rivers, from creeks, that is really a part of our own fertility in women. And I think it has to do kind of both on the physiological level and on the spiritual level. You know, if a woman wants to be at her optimal fertile state, she needs to drink enough fresh, clean drinking water. Drinking enough fresh, clean drinking water promotes good quality eggs in a woman. It promotes quality production of cervical mucus. And then, of course, too, if we trash our rivers and we pollute our rivers, we're creating a disconnection more and more from the goddess Oshun herself, the fertility goddess in the Orisha pantheon. And so being in right relationship with our rivers is paramount, not only for our survival as humans, but also so we can be in right relationship with the goddess Oshun, who can support us in our fertility. And I know from my personal experience, when I go to the river, I try to pick up some of the trash on the riverbank. If there's trash in the river, I try to pick it up because I want to foster a symbiotic relationship with the river, with Oshun.
And I can, you know, sort of say from my own personal experience, you know, it is usually these kinds of small acts that we as humans are being sort of called to engage in with our local land spirits, with larger land spirits. You know, every bit counts, and it's, you know, so I'm just entirely with you on that. Just, you know, just this idea of, you know, even when I see some litter by the river, like I'm in relationship with this being, and I'm going to, you know, engage in that way. So for the individual, and we could talk about water for forever, especially what's going on in California right now. With this sort of imminent drought. So this is so much more of a, it's really powerful that we're doing this episode right now. But one thing you mentioned was not just being in right relationship with water, but being in balance with the elemental forces. A lot of people, you know, they don't really take into consideration the elements, but I'm sort of the kind of person who usually considers the elements, which we have access to. They're all around us. They're making this whole thing happen. When I turn on the lights in my apartment, when I'm, you know, watering my plants, I'm engaging with the elements. When I'm talking right now during this show, I'm engaging with the element of air. It's a part of the process of my life. And there are oldest ancestors. They birthed us toward this very, very moment. But sometimes it gets a bit vague for people. What do you suggest in terms of, especially in regards to infertility, for the individual in terms of how being in balance with the elements relates to well-being for the woman who is wanting to have a child.
Yeah. So balance with the all four of the elements are really critical for getting pregnant and having optimal fertility. The four elements, of course, being earth, air, fire, water. If you have a more Chinese bent, you might also include ether, I think, or wood, but I have more of a Western perspective. But yeah, all four of those elements are really important in conceiving a child, and we both see that in the physiological process of an egg becoming fertile in a woman, but we also see that mirrored in the spiritual realm. So on the physiological level, we use air to speak our longing for a child. And we use fire to have that desire to have a child. But also fire is the element represented in the sperm. The sperm go out there in their masculine energy to conquer, which represents fire. And then earth, of course, is the planting of the seed, fertilization. And then we've been talking about water with the amniotic fluid, with optimal production of cervical mucus, and, of course, good quality eggs with the water. We also see that in the spiritual world as well, with different spirits that contain different elements that also are about fertility. I have a couple examples here. First I'd like to talk about the goddess Bridget from Europe. She is the carrier of the sacred flame, but what some people don't know is she's also a fertility goddess. You can petition the goddess Bridget to help you heal your fertility. And then, of course, we've been talking a lot about the goddess Oshun, the river goddess, and going to her to heal fertility, which is what I did. Then we also have the goddess Demeter in the Greek pantheon. She's an earth goddess. She represents fertility of the land, but also fertility in a woman. Lastly, with the air element, we have Aphrodite. Now, Aphrodite, before she was a love and beauty goddess, she was also a fertility and war goddess. And Aphrodite is connected with the element of air through her synchronization with the goddess Venus, who has, in astrology, you have Taurus, but really Libra, who are associated with Venus. So that connection with Libra and Aphrodite is that connection with air. So it's important for us to be in line with all four of these elements for optimal wellness, but also optimal fertility. And there's many different ways you can become in alignment with these energies. You can connect with the wind. You can build a fire or connect with the sun. You can put your feet on the earth, and you can go to the ocean or the river. Or you can connect with these four elements by working with different goddesses or spirits that embody these various elements.
It's just amazing because last week we had a special guest, Al Cummins, who was on the show, and he was talking about English magical traditions and the passions, the idea of the way that emotions were seen in 17th century England were very different from the way that we see the connection between the mind-body emotional plane today. And he was talking about that the passions. Oh, it's sort of a good way of understanding them might be understanding sort of European medicinal or medical idea of humors, and that so much of divination at that time was about bringing you into balance, bringing your passions into balance. Is this a hot-tempered person? Is this a cooler person? And how does this relate to the other aspects of their life, not just their body, but, you know, the kinds of clothing that they wear and the kinds of people that they're around and the remediatory acts of remediation taken were all about bringing that person back into balance. And it's just, it just calls to a level of self-awareness that is simple, and that's one of the reasons why I love the elements as well, because we as humans can be very complex. We're funny, as I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show. And the elements help to make things for us that we might be making more complex than necessary. Very simple. Are you out of balance with, you know, the element Earth? Are you sort of floating around, you know, or are you, you know, finding yourself so cool and that you're apathetic and foggy and depressed? You know, maybe there's some fire energy
yeah.
that's needed here. Even being an individual who might not ever be faced with questions regarding fertility, I can absolutely attest to the importance of this in life. And absolutely, if you are someone who's wanting to support life, even more so than if you're someone who's wanting to support life moving through your body, what other suggestions would you make for that person?
Yeah, I love that you married what the show was last week with the different humors and what I'm talking about, because it's totally connected. And as you said, different cultures from around the world have had this idea of balance. You see it in Chinese traditional medicine. You see it in Ayurveda. And, of course, in the Greek with the different humors, this idea of being in balance with the elements. And so I have a couple examples that I would like to show of the marriage between fertility in a woman and the natural element. And then I'll give some really concrete examples of how to work with the elements, how to work with spirit and plant medicine to boost your fertility. So I mentioned the goddess Demeter. Now everybody knows her as the harvest goddess. She's the mother of Persephone. She also has another child as well, a son. But what people don't always realize is her intimate connection with the land is intimately connected with her own fertility. There's kind of two mythologies I'd like to talk about, which really call into play waters and Earth's role in fertility. The first story about Demeter, the first mythology, is around her being a guest at a wedding for two different gods, and she sees this very handsome, attractive man-god near her. She flirts with him, and then she pulls him into this field that has already been tilled, and they've already put seeds down, but there's no seedlings yet. They proceed to make love, and she becomes pregnant during that love-making session on that land. And then later, of course, that land has seedlings. So we see how the fertile land has an intimate connection with Demeter getting pregnant. And we even see the connection with the land today. For example, a lot of soil that grows our fruits and veggies now are missing trace minerals. They typically are deficient in zinc, magnesium, selenium, copper, B12. These trace minerals are all very important for vital optimal fertility. So that's kind of one example of how the land is intimately connected to fertility with Demeter. And then the second mythology around Demeter that I would love to talk about is how when Demeter's daughter, Persephone, was stolen to go down to the underworld, Demeter actually caused drought. And I think this is very interesting because it shows how the being separated from her child, being disconnected from the mother-child relationship, was connected with water because she caused there to be drought. So a part of optimal fertility as well is being in connection with the life cycle. So perhaps during spring would be a perfect time to conceive a child. You have little seedlings budding, the plants are growing, whereas fall and winter, things are slowing down. There's a natural cycle of death and inwardness and not so much abundance in fall and winter. And then I want to talk a little bit about kind of concrete ways a person can work with the elements for optimal fertility. Now, of course, this would be for a woman or a man who wants to get pregnant and is maybe, or wants to have a child and is struggling with infertility. So I kind of talked about one way before, which is really engaging with the natural elements, connecting with the wind, putting your feet down on the earth, swimming in the river or the ocean, and enjoying the sun, being connected to fire. Another element would be really getting in right relationship with plant medicine. So perhaps growing your own medicinal herbs for fertility, making your own herbal tinctures. That's really another way to boost your fertility, by getting in symbiotic, right relationship with the land. A third way would be doing some type of spiritual work to help promote your fertility. So it could be working with your ancestors, asking your ancestors to help heal your infertility, or it could be asking your ancestors which god or goddess or spirit you should work with to help heal your infertility. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different gods and goddesses and spirits who support fertility, who one of their domains is fertility. So really kind of getting clear on, okay, which god or goddess or which spirit should I be working with for optimal fertility is really key. And of course, you can see a spirit worker if you don't do divination currently, or you don't have a strong connection with any one spirit. You can, of course, go to a qualified spirit worker, and they can do divination for you to figure out which spirit to petition to do work with. And then for women, it's about, if there's any sexual trauma, it's about really confronting that and be willing to heal that, heal on an emotional level, be willing to allow the tears to flow. And also for women, there's this element, too, of connecting to divine feminine energy. We live in a very masculine world, which does not promote a woman feeling in her femininity and feeling in her optimal abundance. So working on your divine feminine energy, perhaps you can use the Empress card and the Tarot as inspiration, or you can, of course, use the goddess Oshun, who we've talked a lot about, for inspiration. And then, too, I have some more tips and tricks through my website. If people sign up for my newsletter, I have a whole article that I have about tips and tricks that people can use to heal their fertility in a holistic way.
And what's great is that if any of this is, you know, overwhelming for anyone, you're a specialist and you know sort of what's needed if this is a situation, you know, if someone's particular condition is best addressed through, say, herbalism or spirit work or a combination thereof, or emotional healing. And these are all areas in which you can help support someone who is seeking to change their state of fertility, and partly because of your own path, which I love. You just brought up the divine feminine, and it's just bringing to mind all of really just energies that I myself encountered this past year that hopefully we'll have enough time to chat about, because I'd love sort of your feedback on them. And we'll just get back to that in just right after this next musical break. Again, thank you so much for everything that you're doing and sharing with us on this show. I know it's going to be a help to everyone who listens.
Great. Thank you, Kai.
Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. This is the longest-running conjure show on the planet and may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burmeshave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
Lucky Mojo Curio Company is based in sunny Forestville, California, and offers spiritual products to address and remediate all kinds of conditions. Locate them online at luckymojo.com or visit them in person to see the world's smallest church. Missionary Independent Spiritual. We're back on Sacred Ground, and I'm your host, Kai Armand, with here with fertility holistic fertility support specialist, Sarah Jacobson of YemayazWomb.com. And we've been having such a wonderful conversation about all of the elements that go into healthy birth support and a woman's fertility. In our last section, we were talking about, amongst other things, various conditions that can be playing a role in a woman's infertility. And one of the things that Sarah mentioned was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Sarah, the role that a sort of internalized misogyny might play in a woman's infertility, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I would, and also, too, just, I would say, feeling disconnected from her divine feminine energy. So it doesn't even have to be as much as misogyny. It could just be a disconnection from that aspect of the divine feminine.
Yeah, it really just rang so, like a sort of gigantic bell just went off for me when you mentioned that, because obviously, you know, many people realize, you know, our patriarchal culture has sort of really tried to its best to strike from the record not only specific divine femininities, but the divine feminine in general, that, you know, sort of the highest power in the universe is in no way feminine, has no feminine attributes, which has been, you know, a tremendous disservice to all of humanity. Everyone is, you know, suffering tremendously from that lie, but also as individuals. And I just wanted to, and I obviously had no intention to mansplain on something that you would have so much more experience talking about and working through. But it's very interesting that you said that, because this past week I actually had the privilege of being involved in some shamanic healing work for a client who was coming to me sort of looking for some answers regarding her business. And what ended up happening in the journey that my spirits took me on was entirely about her connection to the divine feminine and how important it was for her to dismantle anything standing in the way of her connection, of her understanding of her connection to the divine, and that the sort of main slip up there would be sort of falling into patriarchal standards and beliefs. And the way in which my spirit sort of showed me the Achilles heel that was playing a role in the situation, I'll try to explain this to the best of my ability. The way it was shown to me was that in her village where she was growing up as a child, there was an energy, a local female energy. It could have been a land spirit. My spirits were not making it very clear. But it had become a literal repository for all of the female energy that young girls had sort of asked it to hold on to, like for safekeeping, the first time they experienced a threat by a man, or experienced man as a threat, or actually even better than that, when they realized, when as a young girl, they sensed, oh no, my own womanhood in this world puts me in danger. Mm. And part of the healing involved for this particular client was about retrieving that piece that she had given up as a very young child. And it wasn't far away. It was literally like there was a woman who was safekeeping what my spirit showed me as. It was like a woman with a storehouse of conch shells. Mm. And she wasn't malicious about it at all. She just had them. And part of my client's retrieval of this energy involved the kind of letting all of this energy back out into the world for, and many of the young women, you know, who had done this, who had sort of realized subconsciously, unconsciously as a child, oh no, my womanhood makes me unsafe in this world. Can you hold on to this for a second until I figure out what to do with this? And of course, never retrieved it, you know, didn't realize that they had done that, had died. Only God knows how long this had happened. So part of this client's healing was related to letting all of this, these conch shells back out into the world, and some of these spirits sort of retrieving something that was so integral to their being here. And it was just such a huge, for me, perspective on how damaging our culture is and how we can arrive here with such gifts that the moment we get here, we're like, oh, fuck, this might get me killed. So when you said the divine feminine, you know, that journey, that particular healing went on to my spirits even prescribed to this client of mine who is Christian, you know, you need to be sort of looking at women in the Bible, you know, Delilah, Ruth, you know, women in the Bible who are exactly, and fill this space, you know, we've retrieved this part, but there's some lies that need to be dismantled if you're really going to do what you've come here to do. So, again, that just rings such a huge bell for me because it's been something I've been sitting with this whole week, the immensity of that experience. I'd love for, before we leave the show, for you to talk more about, you know, so someone goes to your website, they go to yemayazwomb.com, and they say, you know, I don't know if I'm fertile or not, or I've been, you know, trying to have a baby, and it's been difficult. What happens then after they, you know, fill in the contact information? How do you assess the situation?
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to make a few comments on what you just said, which is so wonderful. And then, yeah, I'll talk a little bit about my website and my services. So I think it's so interesting that you mentioned the conch shell in the journey that you had with your client, because the conch shell, I don't know if you know this, but it actually is connected to the vagina in some cultures.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. And, yeah, this, I'm not sure if we're going to have enough time for this, but the divine feminine is a really integral piece to healing fertility in a holistic manner. And in fact, women from all over the world, all different countries, used to worship gods and goddesses before we were Jewish and Christian and Muslim, you know, whether we have Germanic roots or we have Celtic roots or we have Nigerian roots or Australian roots or you know, Brazilian roots, whatever our bloodline is, we all used to be polytheistic and, you know, worship the trees and the river and all that. And a part of that, there was always at least one god or goddess that represented fertility. It doesn't matter what pantheon it is, if it's the Yoruba pantheon from Nigeria or, you know, Native American spiritualities, or in the Celtic faith, or the Nordic faith, or, you know, it doesn't matter. There's at least one god or goddess who represented fertility. And so it just shows you how important this aspect of fertility and propagating the species is. And we as people, we used to work with both god and goddess energy. There used to be that marriage there. And you still see the remnants of that in Judaism and Christianity and Islam. With Judaism, even in mainstream synagogues, they will still talk about the Shekhinah, which is considered the divine feminine aspect of God, Adonai. And the Shekhinah, she used to be worshipped as the Hebrew goddess Asherah. So there is still some mention of the divine feminine in Judaism. And then, of course, in Christianity, you have Mother Mary, or Catholicism, rather, you have Mother Mary. So there is still these remnants of when we used to work with different goddess energy. And no matter how much certain religious authorities want to try to stop women from working with the divine feminine, we have the divine feminine everywhere around us. The Shekhinah, we still have Mother Mary, and of course we have, you know, many other goddesses from different cultures. And then there's also this element of sacred sexuality as promotion or optimal fertility. You see that in Judaism. You see that in Hinduism, where they have certain prescriptions of certain sexual positions and certain ways to engage in lovemaking in order to optimally have a child. You know, it's one of the reasons why in Judaism, it's actually considered a mitzvah or a blessing when a married woman receives pleasure from making love to her husband. And it's an interesting connection because we know through science that when a woman orgasms, the sperm is pushed further into her reproductive organs and she's more likely to get pregnant versus if she doesn't have an orgasm. So again, there is that connection between spirituality and the fertility. So if somebody who's listening, a woman is struggling with infertility and wants support, she can reach out to me through my website. My website is yemayaswomb.com, YEMAYASWOMB.com. And if she goes to the Let's Talk page, you'll see there's like a little application there to put her email address and her interest in my services. If she sends me an email there, I'll get back in touch with her. And I want to offer a special gift for your listening audience. So the special gift, kind of traditionally the way that I vet my clients is I have them apply for a free session with me. But for your listening audience, Kai, I want to give an automatic free session with me. And in that free session, we'll get to know one another. I'll offer some fertility education and fertility healing. So it's gonna offer you some value. So if people send me an email through the Let's Talk link on my website, and that's a great way to get that free session with me. Oh, I just mentioned, you know, the radio show with Kai Armand.
That is so generous of you. Thank you so much. I truly hope that if you're listening to the show and you are a woman who is having some questions about fertility and infertility, please do reach out to Sarah Jacobson at yemayaswomb.com. Mention that you heard her on this show. And that was just absolutely generous of you. And just you being on this show today has been such a generous, so generous of your time and your own path. Thank you so much for sharing so courageously your journey.
Thank you. It's been such an honor. I've loved our conversation.
Me too. And hopefully we can have you back on in the future. Thank you so much. We were able to tie in. There are so many things that are going on in our world that are related to, you know, the individual human experience and desire, and you were able to just tie all those things together so beautifully. Again, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
This has been another episode of On Sacred Ground with your host, Kai Armand, and special guest Sarah Jacobson of YemayasWomb.com, holistic fertility support specialist. Tune in next week as we continue to go deep into the heart of the human experience in which place plays a primary role. Until then, keep a light in your window for courage in our times. I'll be keeping a light in mine. Thanks again, Sarah.
You're welcome.